It's your host, Marsha and Rega, and welcome back for another episode with RMV.
Hey everyone, today we have a unique guest who's an actress and a singer.
Yeah, and I'm so excited to talk with Hannah, and thank you so much for joining our episode today. And maybe, you know, I can learn some acting skills in this episode.
Yeah, so Miss Hannah, why don't you introduce yourself and talk about what you do?
Yeah, hey guys, thanks for having me. My name is Hannah Weaver, and I'm a New York City-based actor and singer, and recently I've also become a podcaster.
That's so exciting.
I know.
Marsha and I were so excited for you to come along. You've never interviewed an actor or singer before. Yeah,
so, yeah, we haven't.
So we just wanted to ask, like, when did you start acting?
Yeah, so I think my parents always kind of knew that I belonged on stage. So I used to reenact movie musicals in my house, and I would like dress up and play all the parts and like sing all the songs. I knew all the lines. and I was really little. So they signed me up for a theater camp when I was like six. So I think it kind of like blossomed from there. I got into community theater when I was young, and I would do like local talent shows and like took dance classes and things like that. And I grew up doing theater in school, but I always kind of thought of it as just a hobby. I actually didn't consider pursuing it as a career until like I think I was a junior in college, and looking back it seems like a natural next step, so like I didn't really know why it took me that long. But yeah, there was definitely, so I have been doing it my whole life, but didn't start seriously pursuing it as a career option until I was probably like 20 or 21.
That's cool.
Oh wow, that's really interesting and fun at the same time. Yeah, so one of our listeners asked, so what inspired you to become an actor and singer?
Ooh, what inspired me? I mean, I don't think there was a moment where I was like, this is what I'm going to do. I think it was just kind of a natural, like there was a moment when I was like, oh, it makes sense for me to pursue this professionally. But there wasn't a moment where I was like, you know, it just seemed like a natural progression, like a natural next step for me. Once I hit that point, I was like, what do I want to do with my life? Oh, like I've kind of been on this path. But I think I can distinctly remember the first time I realized I loved singing. And I've always loved to sing. But the first time I realized, like, hey, like, I'm, like, kind of good at this in my little, like, 8-year-old, 9-year-old brain. I remember I had a Disney Princess karaoke CD. And specifically, I remember loving the song Reflection from Mulan. And I would, like, belt my heart out. And I remember loving that and being like, I'm really good at this. As again, a little kid. And I remember loving like classic musical theater growing up. And I had a really, really wonderful elementary school music teacher who always encouraged me to keep singing and like kind of fostered that love for music with me.
Wow, that's amazing.
I know.
I love that.
Yeah, it's so funny like looking back, like how much sense it all makes now. But like, again, it never really occurred to me that I would be doing this professionally.
Wow. Yeah.
That is like breathtaking too. Like when you were young, you were like singing and it's like, oh, I'm getting good at this. And like you pursue it even now, like to be a successful actress. So that's like, wow, amazing.
Yeah, thank you. And I don't think I was like going around as a kid being like, I'm going to be an actor. Like I don't ever think I was doing that. But again, it just like it was always there.
That's cool. So what type of performances do you do? So you do theater, right? And so like you do musicals?
Yeah, so I am pursuing musical theater. The thing about pursuing performing arts, especially in New York City, there's so much access to like all different types of performing arts. So like I have so many friends who like who write and produce and direct and do film and do commercials and do musical theater and do straight theater. And like there's so much in this city. So I definitely like there's room for me to branch out into other mediums. And like I've done some small films and I've done, you know, I've done some writing and I've done some comedy and like things like that. But but primarily I do musical theater. And within that, primarily I do children's theater and family entertainment.
That's so cool. Yeah, I was actually on your website and I watched some of your videos and it was so cool. Like, I was like really enjoying watching all the videos. You're so good at them.
Thank you. Thanks.
You're also a good podcaster.
So I'm proud of it.
Yeah. You're a good podcaster too, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you. That's been such a passion project.
Yeah. So speaking about that, she does have a podcast called Guys Are Crazy. So do you want to talk about that? Like, what is it and why did you start it?
Yeah, absolutely. So Guys Are Crazy, that is spelled G-U-Y-Z-R, crazy. My roommate and I moved in together almost 2 years ago now, and we moved to Brooklyn, and we were dating other people, like not each other, but like we were in the dating world, and we were getting these like insane messages on like dating apps, and like these crazy like experiences were happening to us. So we decided to document them, and it blossomed from this like Instagram page where we would just post screenshots of like crazy things that had happened to us or had been said to us. And it blossomed into this platform to talk about gender stereotypes and dating stereotypes and dating experiences. And we hope to get kind of like a comprehensive view of like the dating world. So we talk to all different types of people about their experiences. We challenge stereotypes as they relate to dating. We talk a lot about like feminism and gender stereotypes in particular. So it's been a really, really cool experience and a full like quarantine hobby that was born from our own experiences in the dating world.
Yeah, that's amazing. I was also listening to this bit of your episodes too, and it was really fun to listen to it. Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah. It's been really fun to make.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Varsha and I also started our podcast during quarantine.
Because of quarantine started. So
yeah, and I'm sure you feel the same way then. It's been such a wonderful like way to spend time and to like be productive in quarantine.
Exactly. It's also a big stress reliever for us. You know, not to worry about the outside world. It's really nice to start a podcast.
Definitely. And it's such a great reason to connect with people who I wouldn't have connected with otherwise.
Exactly. Yeah.
We've met like new people, like so many new people over the past few weeks. And it's like we've learned so much from each and every one of them.
Yeah.
And
it makes us really happy. I didn't imagine I was going to do this. Like, honestly, before quarantine, like, I didn't think I was going to be a podcaster.
Same here.
Me too.
It's crazy. Yeah. So going back to the, you know, being a role of an actor and singer. So we wanted to know, so how do you prep for a role?
Ooh, okay. This is it's a little bit different for me. It's been a little bit different professionally versus in like school and stuff like that, because like I said, I normally do, professionally I've been doing a lot of children's theater. So that's a lot more like presentational stuff like that. It's a lot more music than like dialogue. Generally, I'm totally generalizing. Stuff like that. But kind of overall, I think like logistically, I overall have to be really confident in the script. I have a history of stage fright. It's so common. And like, I think a lot of people will watch like actors on stage and stuff, be like, oh, like they look so confident. It's like, no, we get scared too. Like we have stage fright also. I have countless stories of me messing up on stage and like fumbling lines. And truthfully, something that has made me really grow as an actor is like embracing that stage fright and being like, this is what makes it interesting. Because when you're doing the same show every single day for however long, like it gets old. And like a really great way to keep it fresh is to like embrace the things that go wrong and to like roll with it. So going back to the question, I think, like learning the script inside and out. One thing I do, which is I think kind of unique, to memorize songs. And this has helped. So like when I'm auditioning, I'll have to learn a lot of new music for different roles. So like really quick, they'll be like, learn this for tomorrow. And one thing I do to help me learn songs quickly is to actually play other music while I'm learning the song. Because I know it's hard, but it's helped me a lot, because like if I can sing a song while listening to like the radio blasting, I'll know that I got that song down. But in terms of memorizing lines, I try to not just memorize the words on the page. I try to think about like the character's intentions and objectives, and like putting life and reason behind a character's words. It helps me bring them to life, and it like it makes the lines make more sense to me, and it makes it then easier to learn instead of just like learning the words on the page.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah,
I totally agree with you. Like being a singer, like an actress, like it's not easy. Like it is definitely hard, and it takes a lot of commitment and like you know, you're committing to it your whole life. So it's like obviously not easy, like you said. Like it has its own, like you learn a lot. So
yeah, definitely. Thank you for saying that too. A lot of people I think take artists for granted. And like all art forms, not just actors, but I think it's really easy to be like, oh, like acting is such a fun job.
Yeah.
And then, but be like, oh, it's not a real job, but then like sit and consume like 8 hours of Netflix a day. And it's like, well, you're still like, you're benefiting from this. So like, yeah, it's a real job. And I think like, I like to say that it's a lifestyle. It's not just a career, because like ever since I did start pursuing this professionally, like it is, it has changed how I live my life. And it's interesting to think about.
For sure.
Yeah. So one of our listeners asked, so how do you improve your singing voice and find time to warm up?
Oh, wow. Let's see. Well, warming up is really, really important.
Yeah.
Singing is so physical and acting is so physical. And even talking, like it's easy to develop vocal issues from just like talking a lot, because like people who don't think about it don't think about it. And so like different warm-ups work differently for each person. So like I will sometimes warm up differently depending on like what I have to sing or do that day, but I always stretch and do like breathing exercises to like get my body really grounded. I'm a big fan of like lip trills, like I don't know how that sounded on my mic, but like that, like lip trill sort of thing. I like straw singing, which is like singing through a straw. It kind of helps with like resistance and stuff like that. I have a belt box. I don't know if you know what that is. It's a little like, you can Google it. I think it's like beltbox.com or something, but it's like a little kind of foam, like sound muffler that you can like sing into, and it muffles the sound. And like I'm always warming up in weird places, like, well, not during COVID, but when I was like traveling, I would always be like in hotel rooms and stuff, or like when I'm auditioning, I'll be like warming up on the subway or like on the street, and it kind of like muffles the sound. So that's a great tool if you're looking for.
I never knew like that.
It's a great tool, especially like, again, if you're like living in a city and like, oh, I know a lot of people like warm up in their car, but like nobody has cars here. So, but in terms of like finding time, like there's no, you just have to do it. You just have to find the time. I don't want to say unfortunately, I have dealt with vocal injury in the past and it was unfortunate, but I learned a lot and it helped me like prioritize my vocal health. Which ultimately was a good thing. So I don't want to say unfortunately, but it really taught me, like, it emphasized the importance of warming up and like really taking care of myself physically, mentally, all of that. So it's just something you kind of have to learn with like time management and kind of find a time to fit it in. And it, you don't have to be doing like a huge warm up every time you sing. Again, like case by case, if you're, I mean, I warm up even if, like, I'm going to work and I know I'm going to be talking a lot, but I'm not going to be doing, like, a full soprano vocal warm-up if I'm going to go to work and talk. But I'll be – I'll make sure, like, I'm vocally ready to do what I have to do for that day.
I think warm-ups are important, too, like, in terms of singing and, like, exercise. You need warm-ups.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was going to ask. Looks like all singers, like, probably, you know, loses their voice, you know, once in a while. Like, after singing too much, right? So, like, what do you do after that? Like, how do you recover from losing your voice?
Whew, that's a tough one, because it kind of depends on why I've lost my voice. And there's a difference between, like, vocal fatigue and, like, and, okay, I'm not a an expert on any of this. So, like, this is kind of just coming from, like, my experience. I know personally, like, if I have a cold and my voice is feeling a little bit, like fatigued or like scratchy or something, I know personally if I sing through that for a show, I'm not going to lose my voice fully, most likely. But if I'm feeling like I've been singing too much or I've been using my voice too much and like I feel it coming on that my voice is starting to go, like I will hunker down and like won't talk for as long as I possibly can. I'm cautious to say, I will never want to encourage anybody to sing through any sort of vocal discomfort. I think it's very case by case. Like, you know, there are times when I've sang through vocal discomfort when I shouldn't have, and then there are times when I was fine. So mm-hmm. I want to caution against that whenever possible. But I think, like, in terms of if you're starting to feel under the weather but still feel like you can do it, just make sure you're really hydrated always. Mm-hmm. Make sure you're not talking when possible. Make sure you're not screaming. Stay away from, like, alcohol, smoking, yeah. things like that. Anything that's, like, drying out. I did end up in losing my voice for a very long time, and I was in vocal therapy for a while to, like, kind of help mm-hmm. recover from my vocal injury. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. and every once in a while, like, it'll kind of resurface and I kind of have to go back to my training yeah. like that. But yeah.
Yes. I was going to say, like, singing and acting, it's a hard job for sure.
Yeah, it is. Both of them together simultaneously.
It's so hard, like, especially if you lose your voice. Yeah. Like, it's a big job.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. There's, thank God for understudies. Understudies are champs. Yeah, they do great work.
Yeah, and I myself like singing a lot. Like, I love to sing, but then, like, I'm really scared to, like, you know, show off my talent and stuff. Like, I just sing in, like, my own time. And then, like, sometimes there are times where, like, I lose my voice and I'm not able to sing. Or, like, you know, like you said, like, you should stay hydrated. Like, there are times where I was singing and then, like, my throat is all dry, and then, like, when you sing a high note, it just, like, makes a voice, your voice cracks, yeah. and it's just so embarrassing. Like, I mean, like, I haven't done, like, I've only done that when I was alone, but, like, not to, like, you know, if you do that in front of the public, that's, like, really embarrassing. So, yeah, I also would say it is important, like, you know, Hannah said that, like, stay hydrated and, like, not talk too much, because, like, for me too, I, like, always yell at my sister, like, every day, and it gives me a lot of stress, and my mom sometimes just says, like, you know, like, why don't you just be quiet, like, every morning. So every morning when we come, like, my sister and I, we would eat, and we would never stay quiet because we always have something to fight about. So there was this one day my mom was like, you know what, tomorrow onwards, you guys are going to stay quiet. And so that one day I was, like, at least at peace. And then the other days were just, like, complete disaster, like an earthquake was happening. Yeah. So I relate a lot, but I relate a lot to that.
Yeah.
So we wanted to ask, what are some hardest parts of being an actor, singer, and what are the best parts?
Oh gosh, hardest.
Those are big parts. Big questions.
Those are big questions.
Yeah.
Like I said, I think it's kind of a lifestyle. Like the yeah. and adjusting to mm-hmm. that is really hard. I think mm-hmm. there's an expectation among a lot of young people, or there feels like a pressure among a lot of young people. Mm-hmm. And again, I can only kind of talk about my experience, but, like, in this country, it seems like the thing, you graduate high school, you go to college, you get a job, like a 9-to-5, you work that, mm-hmm. whatever, you settle down, you have your kids. There's, like, kind of an expected timeline, and a non-traditional career path like this kind of throws a wrench in that. So I think kind of readjusting to societal expectations is hard.
For sure. Yeah.
And yeah. it's really easy to compare yourself to others, in terms of that, yeah. but also in terms, like, within the industry, in terms of, like, looks and talent and mm-hmm. stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And that's really difficult. So overcoming that has been a challenge. And I think a lot of the challenges within this industry are based on, like, the industry and not based on the, like, day-to-day aspects of the job. Like, I love acting, I love singing, like, it's more like mm-hmm. the challenges this industry presents are more from, like, the business and logistical side of things. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. that's all I got. I could go on for days about yeah. the hard but I think kind of, like, in general, those mm-hmm. have been, like, the most difficult adjustments. And I'm pretty new to, I'm a couple years into doing this professionally, like, it hasn't been very long, but I, looking back, so, like, these adjustments are pretty fresh. Mm-hmm. So that's what comes to mind first.
Oh, okay. I totally agree with that.
I wanted
too.
To ask too, for me, I mean, I'm not an actor or singer, but, like, I, you know, I participated in school plays and stuff like that, and I always lacked in confidence. You know, I had huge stage fright. It's something, like, I hated going up to stage. So, like, how do you deal with confidence? Like, how did you gain your confidence, or did it come naturally to you?
Oh my gosh, fake it till you make it. Like, I think, first of all, if you act and you sing, you're an actor and a singer. Like, if you were mm-hmm. doing those school plays, you are acting and singing, you know? I think it's imposter syndrome in any industry is so real, especially when you're just mm-hmm. starting out. And, like I said, I'm a couple years out of college, so, like, I'm still young. And I still get imposter syndrome all the time in this industry where I know, like, even though I know I'm so qualified for everything that I'm doing. And I think, like, it was weird to start being like, I'm an actor, instead of being like, I'm pursuing acting, or like, I'm trying to be an actor. Like, I'm not acting right now. Like, there's no theater right now. We're in quarantine. Yeah. But, like, that doesn't make me any less of an actor. I think, like, kind of owning it, owning that title and owning those choices were like monumental mm-hmm. in building my confidence. And I think really, like, I've done so much self-work in being like, I know I'm talented. I know I have what it takes to build a life in this industry or build a career in this industry. And again, I think just like once I was secure in those facts, I don't even want to say belief, like once I was like secure in that, and then stopped, mm-hmm. I was able to then stop comparing myself to others as much. Mm-hmm. And it was easier to be confident in myself, but it's such a process. Like, I'm still getting there. I still get stage fright.
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure everyone gets stage fright. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But again, like I said before, kind of like embracing the stage fright. Like one thing I absolutely love about pursuing this career path has been, I've learned to embrace the uncertainty of it all and learn to find excitement in that. Like, I'm a very type A person. I like thrive on routine. I love like my consistency, my stability, but there's none of that in this industry. So I think like kind of learning to embrace that as exciting, because like my days never looked the same pre-COVID. Like every day was different, every day was exciting. And instead of being like, oh, like I don't know what's gonna happen today, like my day looks different than it did last week or yesterday, instead being like, I wonder what today's gonna hold, like I am prepared to for whatever this day throws at me, like kind of reframing those mindsets has been really beneficial.
Yeah, that's some good advice.
Yeah.
Mega, did you learn anything
from
that? For sure, yeah.
So, like, how about, like, you know, so many people, you know, make mistakes, as you said, like, you know, while acting. Mm-hmm. So how do you come back from that? Because, like, I know if I ever made a mistake, I would probably be crying, like, the next couple days.
Yeah, same here.
Especially if I was on stage or something. So, like, how do you embrace your mistakes?
Deal with that.
Yeah, embrace them. And, again, it's so hard. And, like, this is something that I've only really started doing within like the past year, that mm-hmm. I've only started being more comfortable with. I think like growing up and like doing theater in school and stuff, I was never really good at like improvising, or I was never confident in my ability to improvise. I was always very much like, if I mess up this line, like it's the end of the world. Like, and I've been there where I've been on stage and like forgotten my lines and stood there like a fool and been like, and wanted to like run off stage crying. Yeah. Like, I've been there. That's happened to everyone who's in this field. But I think like, again, once I kind of embraced that, I worked on my improv skills. I worked on like, you know, what to do in those situations. Mm-hmm. I've also worked on collaborating more with the people I'm on stage with. Like, it's such a team effort. And I like everyone has to be like working together at all times, because if one person messes up, it affects everybody. So like it's up to everyone to jump in and like help everyone out. And it's high stakes. And like, instead of being like, oh, it's high stakes, that's scary, now it's like, oh, it's high stakes, that's exciting. And especially like when I've done a couple like longer contracts where I'm like doing the same show over and over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And at a certain point, it's like, okay, you know the show, but like things are still gonna go wrong. Yeah. But I think at that point, it's like when you know the show that well, anything could go wrong and you could like, you could solve it. And like, that's when it becomes exciting, when it's like, how can I get out of this situation in the moment when the stakes are high? It's not like, oh my God, the audience is going to know and I'm going to do the job. It's like, how can I fix this? This is fun. And again, just again, reframing that mindset.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Because the audience never knows. the audience is not going to know.
Like, exactly.
Unless the audience knows the show that well. And I think, like, in my experience, as someone who's been an audience member who knows shows very well, when you're a super fan of a show, you're going to be excited if something goes wrong. Like, I'm always looking for things going wrong in shows and movies and stuff. Like, it's exciting. And if the audience doesn't know the show that well, it's going to go right over their head. Unless the actor, like, runs off the stage crying. So I think it's been like, you know, how can I solve this when no one will know any better, and like I'll have done a good job in that regard.
Yeah, I think like in all shows, like I don't know if I think I've seen in like movies and stuff, it's like, you know, there's a scene where they're having, you know, they're having a play, and then it's like the teacher's like, you know, keep on going, never stop, everyone, never stop, don't stop, just keep on going, saying your lines, don't stop anywhere, and it's like just keep on going, like don't run off or anything. But, like, some people do.
Right? Yeah, I mean, like, I've done, I did a show twice a night, every single night, just about, for, like, months and months and months. So, like, I knew that show, like, the back of my hand. And there would be days when I'd get up there and, like, just my mind would go blank. And I would, like, have to be like, okay, I just sang this line. I don't remember the next one. What rhymes with that? Just so I can make something up. Like, knowing full well, like, I know the show is just, like, I had a brain fart. Like, it happens. Yeah. So you have to be like thinking.
We're humans, right? We're not robots. Exactly. So.
and as you said, it's like a team effort. So everyone has to help each other.
So I wanted to get back to the challenges of, you know, acting and being a singer. So I think it's more mainly focused on acting. So what are your thoughts on like nepotism, like in industry?
I think theater is really known for that. Like there and I have grown to not resent it if it's done for the right reasons. I think like if I'm a casting director, if I'm a hiring manager for any job, if I'm hiring people, I would rather hire people I know I can trust than hire people who are complete strangers. Because like kind of at this, like once you're doing it, once you're performing professionally, like there's a good chance you're really talented, like everyone's kind of on the same talent like playing field, and I'm again totally generalizing, like not everyone's gonna, like I'm not the best singer out there, of course, but like I've to like the talent is more level than one might think. Like I'm not going in for the same roles as like super famous Broadway stars, but like I'm not a nobody. So I think like it, if talent is kind of off the table, that's what I'm trying to say. If talent is off the table, I would rather work with people as a director, as a hiring manager, as a casting director in any industry. I would rather work with people who I know I can trust and who I know I can rely on. And I think like once I kind of like once that clicked for me, I was like, oh, of course people are going to cast people they've worked with before because they know them and they know they can rely on them. So getting your foot in the door is hard in that sense because you kind of have to know people to like it's easier to get ahead if you know people, but it's also really easy to network in this industry because it's so small. So like if you work with some, like I've worked with people in the past and like gotten jobs from them in the past like randomly because like and it wasn't like I was fishing for jobs. Like people think of you if you are like good to work with and like you maintain connections. So I think like, yes, it's easier to get ahead if you know more people in this industry in a, of course, a genuine professional, like talented way. But it's also like you have to put yourself out there and like put in the effort to get to know people. Like, it's not like people are, you know, just randomly getting like booked on Broadway because like they're schmoozing someone. Like you're people are putting themselves out there to like make the connections they need to get ahead in like a genuine way. So I don't know if like nepotism is the right word because that has such like a negative connotation, but I think it's like it's like networking and like making the most of connections and like building teams and casts that are full of people who like are genuinely good people to work with. And I think like that's kind of that's a good thing.
Okay, so I also like was going through your website and I saw that you acted in your very first film, came out last year, right?
Yeah.
I just wanted to ask like how is that different from, you know, musical theater, like your experience in that?
Yeah, so I, like I said, I have stage fright a little bit. I get really camera shy. And I think it's because I don't have a ton of experience in film. Like, so I've done a couple student films. I did work on a feature film a couple years ago. It is not my preferred media to work in, because I think it's because I'm not as comfortable with it. Like, I've grown up on stage. I will always be more comfortable on stage, I think, than I will be in front of a camera. I think it's just like an exposure thing. Like, I just haven't done it enough. It is really different. On stage, you're performing out film. Like, you're so small. It's so intimate. Yeah. You're like standing super close to people. You're like, you have cameras in your face. Like, your every little like facial movement is like, you know, seen.
Yeah.
So it was such an adjustment to work on film. I would not count it out. Like, for me, again, like, I would potentially one day be interested in doing more film things. I think like commercials would be great, like TV, like stuff like that. But for now, like, I'm mostly focused on theater.
Yeah, I get that. But it must have been really cool, too, working on a film.
Yeah, it was very cool. I was actually a PA on the film, and then I did some, like, extra work. Yeah, so I was kind of working, like, the production side. But it was really cool to, like, be on the set to, like, kind of figure out, like, to see how a film, a feature film set, like, works from that perspective, because that was something I had never seen before, and I was, like, fully thrown into it. So it was a really cool way to learn.
That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah, that is very, it sounds fun too. Like, I also want to experience that.
Stressful, you know? But definitely really cool.
Yeah.
And also on your website, I saw the music video called The Way of the American. So what was that about? And like, I really liked it too, because it was like in many different languages. And like, so what is your experience? Like, you want to tell us like more about that, your experience?
Absolutely. So I think that is case in point of like networking. So I was doing another show, and our musical director and composer for that was like, hey, I'm working on this project. Like, are you available this day? Do you have any interest in learning a song to like help me out? And I was like, absolutely. And it was, the project is called A Time to Speak. It's by Rosenberg and Story. It's about like early 20th century American like textile mills. Think like Triangle Shirtwaist Factory, that sort of thing. It's about like the prejudice and sexism that these people, mostly women, faced working in these places. So I'm a huge American history nerd, and I'm a huge feminist. So I kind of like combined all of my loves. So I was like, of course I want to be in this. So I think it was a really cool way to like, you know, perform some new work, help out a friend, like kind of merge my interests.
Yeah, I watched the video. It was super cool. I really loved it. And Marsha and I are both in U.S. history right now, so like I was relating to it, and I was like, this is super cool.
I was like really little in like elementary school, I did like a project on the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory fire. So it's always been like, I've always been fascinated with like that subject. So like, it was kind of a full circle moment for me too.
So you've traveled all over the world, right? So like, what are some of your favorite places that you've been to?
Oh, wow. Everyone asks me this and I never know what to say. I've traveled a decent amount with different jobs that I've done, which has been so cool. It's such a cool way to see the world. I like to say, because like, it's, you're seeing it a lot of the time from like you're not seeing it from a tourism perspective. So like in a lot of these, the places that I've been, like I wasn't really like on vacation, I was working. So like, I would maybe have a couple hours off to like go grab a bite to eat or like go see a certain thing. So I wasn't like, you know, doing all the touristy things. I would a lot of the time just be like walking through towns and like walking through random places and like exploring. And that was so cool. Trying to think, favorite places I've been. One of my absolute favorite places I've been was Machu Picchu, but I wasn't there for work. I went there with a class. Absolutely amazing.
That's cool. Is your work like the same thing? Like, it must be different all around the world, right? Like, acting or singing wise. So how was that experience like?
So all the jobs that I've done that have been traveling jobs, only one took me overseas, and it was based in the U.S. It was a cruise ship contract, so I wasn't performing for other places. I was performing on a cruise ship that was traveling other places, so I was still contracted by an American company, like working with a lot of Americans, performing for different cultural audiences, which was really cool and different. But the industry was an American industry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so, yeah, so you talked about how you performed in a cruise ship. So I actually went on a cruise last year, like in the summer, to, I think, Mexico, I think. So I've always wondered about, like, I saw a few shows here and there, like, in the night. And so, like, I was wondering, you know, how their life is like. So, like, how was your experience?
Yeah, out of curiosity, what cruise ship did you go on?
I forgot the name, but do you remember the Carnival Inspiration?
Yeah, so every cruise line is different, every cruise line is different. Mm-hmm. But I think generally some of the things to expect when working on a cruise ship are, it's kind of like, it was like a strange, like, different college experience, because I'm close quarters. You're working with the people you're living with, spending all your time together. A lot of the time you'll have like different crew duties, so like safety drills, things like that. It was a really unique experience, but it was so cool.
Yeah, I can tell. Like, they, like, I was also, like, you know, thinking, like, they have to go so, like, they have to work so hard, like, you know, and, like, remember your lines. You know, it's definitely hard. Mm-hmm. Like,
It was the hardest and most I've worked in my entire life.
Exactly.
I also wanted to ask, what are some tips for those who want to become an actor or singer, or who want to pursue that job?
Okay. Yeah. I'm trying to think of, like, the most important things that I've learned. Okay, let's see. I think learning to listen to my body and to prioritize my, like, health, like, physical and mental health, has been so important. Mm-hmm. And again, these are, like, more general things, not, like, specific. Yeah. I think learning that it's okay to say no to things. It's really, really easy to get caught up in, like, this exciting industry and, like, want to do everything, but, like, it is a business. And it's so important to look out for yourself, like, physically, mentally, financially, professionally, like, kind of in all aspects. You have to, like, look out for yourself. Mm-hmm. And I've learned that, like, if a job isn't the right fit for any of those reasons, it's sometimes better to not take it than to take a job that's the wrong one. So that's more of a general thing. But I think in terms of specifically, like, for this industry, like, work on your craft. Mm-hmm. If you love it, like, do it. Work on it. Learn how to be better. Learn how to explore new things within your craft. Like I said, like, I was never really good at, I never was confident in my improv skills. And then the past couple of years have taken on a lot of jobs that require improv skills. So, like, I've built up those skills, things like that. Like, there's always room for growth. Network. Don't burn bridges. What else? Remember that rejection is not a reflection of yourself.
For sure.
I think all about, like, building confidence and being really secure in who you are. Don't compare yourself to others in terms of looks, talent, timeline, any of that. It can be such a toxic rabbit hole, so, like, just stay away.
it's really hard.
But I think like the more you build up your confidence, the easier it'll be to stop comparing yourself to others, and to, instead of being like, so-and-so is so good, I wish I could be like that, you could be like, oh, so-and-so is so good, like, I respect that they're really good at that. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean I'm not good at what I do. It doesn't mean that they're better than me, like, that sort of thing. I think also, like, learn the industry. Like, read about it, read the blog posts, listen to the podcasts, talk to people who are in it, like, get that, like, nitty gritty, like, specific advice. And, like, for anyone listening, like, if anyone wants to follow me, DM me, like, I'm always happy to answer specific questions, because there's, like, I'm constantly learning, and I'm on, like, my third year of doing this professionally, and there's so much. So, like, yeah, that's very general. But if anyone has specific questions, like, I'm so happy to help.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's some amazing advice. Yeah, we'll link Hannah's website
and her Instagram,
you know, her podcast down below. check it out. Nice.
Yeah. Do you have anything else that you wanted to share or talk about?
I've always been told, like, by people in the industry, by professors, by friends, like mentors, if there's anything else you could see yourself doing with your life, do that instead. Like, it's a hard industry, but I like to think, like, if you want to do it, go for it while you're young. Like, do what makes you happy.
Yeah.
Don't just, like, go into an industry because you think it's the right thing to do. Like if you have a passion, follow it. If you realize it's not the right fit, it's so okay to reevaluate your choices and to pick something else. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's so important, especially, like, when you're young. Like, it's okay to change direction. It's okay to, like, make mistakes and, like, learn and realize, like, you want to go in a different direction with your life.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Like, I feel like you should do what your instincts, like, your guts tell you to do, like, your conscience, whatever that says, you should go with that. Like, you know, like you said, Hannah, follow your passion, like, follow your dreams, and, like, you know, it's never too late to change. Like, if you don't like what you're doing, you should definitely change it, because you shouldn't do something if, like, you know, if someone tells you, like, oh, be this, like, you shouldn't be like, no, I'm not going to be that because I don't like doing it. Just because they like to do it, like, you shouldn't do it too. So you should always, like, you know, go with your passion and go with your wishes.
Exactly. Blaze your own trail. Do your own thing.
Yeah.
Don't let the haters.
Exactly. Yeah. So thank you for joining us. We had such a good time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. So along with Megha and I, we thank all our listeners around the world for supporting and loving us. Follow us at MVTalks2020 on Instagram for shout outs and requests.
And again, thank you so much, Miss Hannah, for joining.
Yeah, thanks so much. It really helped us a lot. Like, I've gotten a lot of skills, and, you know, I'm pretty sure your advice will help me in my life. Never
really knew about an actor's life or a singer's life, so I learned more about that.
Yeah, same here. Yeah, it was really interesting because, like, I always wondered about this, and now, like, I didn't think I would, like, actually interview an actress or actor or meet one, actually. I've only just thought of, like, maybe in the future, you know? Like, I don't really know. I always wondered. I wondered about their life a lot. And so now, like, Hannah, thanks you so much for joining us, and you've answered all my questions that I had, and it has been cleared out.
Yeah,
so,
thank you again for having me. Happy to answer any other questions.
Podcast and website, and also her Instagram, so make sure to check it out. And if you have any questions, she said she can answer them for you.
Yeah, and also we're actually in the process of making a brand new, even better website, so stay tuned for that. Have a great day, everyone. It's me, Varsha.
And Megha.
Signing off.